that is here. I know the Lord has come for a purpose. Amen. The Lord has come for a purpose tonight. Isaiah chapter 54, one verse of scripture very familiar to us. Isaiah chapter 54. Amen. I believe the Lord is going to help somebody around these altars here tonight. Amen. I don't ever want the service to be about just the singing. I definitely don't want it to be about the preaching. I want it to be about this altar service. Amen. And God having his way in the hearts of his people. Isaiah chapter 54, the last verse of the chapter, verse number 17. And the Bible says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Just a simple thought tonight, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. Amen. We can read in Psalm 124, and I believe we quoted it this morning. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. We can read the times where the Philistines or the Egyptians or whoever it was that came against the people of God. And the man of God would stand up and he would say something like, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Or maybe he would say something along these lines, "The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. Job chapter 37 says, "Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Amen. I don't know about you, but a lot of times as the man of the house, Brother Derek Jones, I feel like I'm the guy that can fix the problem. I feel like that I'm the one that should have the answer to every question. I'm the defender of the family. God has placed that responsibility upon the shoulders of a man. But the scripture tells us here tonight that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I know he's talking about spiritual warfare. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now that doesn't mean that the weapon isn't formed yet, because it clearly defines that fact for us here tonight, that the weapon has already been formed to destroy your life. As Brother Shane Cook said the other night, the devil already has plans laid out to destroy some young folks, amen, to destroy some marriages, to destroy some families. I like a song that we sing from time to time. The second verse says, "Old Satan had already picked out my grave, and his plan had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I would soon be lost? He has already got a plan in place, my friend, to destroy your life." In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about and seeking whom he may devour." There's a reason why that the lion roars. It's to strike fear in the hearts of his prey, to strike fear in the heart of the individual that he's about to attack. And my friend, not only is the Spirit of God speaking expressly in the last day to the local church, but I also believe that there's a lion that's walking about. He's roaring against the church. Oh, you remember old Goliath, 40 days and 40 nights, roaring against the people of God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we are reminded, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm glad tonight that they're mighty through God, not mighty through the evangelist, not mighty through the pastor, but mighty through God, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And another place he tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I realize that he's come to stand against us tonight, but I want to remind you that the weapon that is formed against us will never prosper. But God has given us some weapons of our own. I said, God is not going to send us out on the battlefield by ourselves. But the number one weapon, I believe, number one that God has given to us is his word. He has given us the sword of the Spirit. If we can learn to quote that book like Jesus did, when the devil comes knocking, when the devil comes with temptation, if we'll learn to quote the word of God, not what I said, but what it is written, not what the preacher said, but what thus saith the Lord, not with what this devotional book says, but what thus saith the Lord of hosts, because the word of God has been given to us as the final authority of the church, the final authority on which we stand, the foundation upon which our relationship with Christ is built. We have that weapon, and when he comes against you like a flood, friend, open your Bible and start quoting the book. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you'll submit yourself to the word of God, God will bring the victory every time. I've been in a place in my life where the pastor had some really good, kind, and helpful words. But when he came to me with scripture, friend, I had something to go to war with. I said, I had something to go to war with. Oh yes, that teacher can bring out some good thoughts and some good opinions and ideas, but when they begin to open up the word of God and break the bread of life in that Sunday school classroom, Brother Shane, I've got something I can go to war with. I've got a weapon that I can use against the weapons of darkness. Hallelujah. For the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. When you speak the word of God, you are speaking life. In Ezekiel chapter 16, he said, when I passed by thee and I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. The word of God is life, my friend. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second weapon that he has given us is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 5 tells us there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. But if you look closely at these two verses, you find one common denominator, and that's the Spirit of God. He's not just working in heaven, but he's working here on this earth. For you see, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, behold, I have been given all power and I give you power. Hallelujah. He has given us the power of the Holy Ghost. He has given us that sword of the Spirit as we spoke about. If you look in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you can find the whole armor of God. But as you go down through that armor, you can see the helmet of salvation. You can see the breastplate of righteousness. You can see the belt of truth. You can see the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you can see the shield of faith. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand something tonight. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the shield really doesn't even belong to me. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the belt really don't even belong to me. Amen. He said, your righteousness is filthy rags, but you've got to have the righteousness of Christ. And so the breastplate that I wear doesn't really even belong to me. He said, separate and put on your shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach his gospel. But you've got to realize tonight that those first five pieces of armor are pieces of armor by which you go on the defense. And let me talk to Abundant Life here tonight. As long as the devil can keep you on the defense, as long as he can keep you backed in a corner and keep you helpless, you might be saved. You might be sanctified and you might be filled with the Holy Ghost, but you're not going forward until you pick up the sword. I said, you're not going forward until you pick up the sword of the Spirit. And he said, if we'll wield that sword, he'll give us victory in every situation that we face. Hallelujah. I'm thankful tonight for the Spirit of God and for the sword of that Spirit. I appreciate tonight the times when we were in dire need and we begin to pray, and you've heard the old timers pray it and say these words, I plead the blood. Oh God. How many of you have ever had to plead the blood? Oh, hallelujah. Got a family member in the hospital and they're sick and you don't know what's going to happen. What do? Oh God, I plead the blood. You got grandbabies that are lost, dying on their way to hell, and what do you say? Oh Jesus, I plead the blood over those grandbabies. Oh yes. You've got moms and dads. You've got children that are outside of the ark of safety and you're preaching to them. You're living it in front of them. But you got to do like Job and sacrifice for them just in case they're not right with God, friend. And what do? We plead the blood of the covenant. And I found many times by pleading the blood that we can find, as we sing tonight, victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. You can plead the blood over your job situation. You can even plead the blood over your finances and believe for God to work like nothing else will. You can plead the blood over your marriage, over your spouse, and you can plead the blood over the very place where you live. I've seen it before, friend. Missionaries over on the other side of the world don't know what's going on, but they start pleading the blood, and God comes through every time on their behalf. Yes. Verbal tradition of the rabbis tells us that over the top of the door of those Israeli homes, most of those homes were made with mud and mortar patched together there in Goshen as they were over 400 years in slavery. But the only part of that house that was made out of stone was the lintel that was over the top of the door. Oh yes. And they would inscribe the family name into that stone. Oh God, you know where I'm going with this. And you know what happened God said the death angel is coming. You need to take a spotless lamb and strike the blood of that lamb on the doorposts and strike it on the lintel. How many believes tonight that God, when you plead the blood over your family, that God still has the power to break a generational curse of divorce and remarriage? I am a product tonight of the fact that somebody was pleading the blood and that vicious cycle was broken in the Gans household. My God, I'm a product of it tonight. That vicious cycle of alcoholism and perversion was broken because somebody plead the blood. Somebody said, I cover my kids in the blood. I cover my house in the blood. I cover myself in the authority that rests in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the hedge tonight. You've heard that old song. I've just got to tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline. Oh, I wish I could run right about now. Oh, God. Because I've seen him come real close, but I've never seen him cross it. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I've seen him come real close, but I've never seen him cross it. I've seen him push the envelope with God. I've seen him take away everything, friend, but he can't touch your life as long as you're under the blood, as long as you're in the will of God. You are invincible until the will of God is fulfilled for your life because you are covered. It's a weapon that's been given to us. And I say, let's take it up and claim the blood. Take it up and claim the promise that there's victory, that there's protection, there's authority in the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's worship the Lord tonight for a moment. David, standing in front of Goliath. Saul tried to get him to wear his armor. He said, I'm not going to wear your armor, Saul. I'm not used to it. Be careful, young men, when somebody comes along and tries to put their armor on you and tries to get you to fight their battles for them. Oh, God, I got enough giants to kill myself. Oh, hallelujah. But he tried to get him to put his armor on. He said, no, I've not proven that armor. Don't step into an area of ministry that you're not called to. Because when the fight gets hot, it'll be the first thing that you give up. But the moment that you feel that call, friend, know that God and all the power of heaven and the power of the Holy Ghost is standing behind you to fulfill that call of God on your life. And that's what David was doing. He was beginning the call of God to become one of the greatest men in the nation of Israel, the King David, the psalmist. But he comes now and he's standing in front of the giant Goliath, and Goliath is cursing, he's roaring, he's swearing by the names of his gods, and he threatens David's life. He said, I'm going to give your body to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. You send me a little boy out here, I'm going to make an example of this little boy. And I want some young person to hear me tonight. Maybe you feel like little David. You may not feel like you're much, but you go with the weapons that you trust. I said, you go, young lady, in the weapons that you trust and believe God to stand with you. And what did David say? He said, I come not to you with a sword or with a spear or any such kind of weapon, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. How many thankful tonight that we've got a weapon in the name of Jesus? Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. As I was in the top of that scissor lift, I'll tell this and I'll be done whining. Standing in the top of that scissor lift, completing my task, I still had several pieces of pipe across the handrails of that lift. The lift malfunctioned, or I put it in the wrong direction. I've played it over and over 1,000 times, and I can't tell you what happened. But the last thing I remember, grabbing a hold of the handrails of that lift and that thing going down into that pit. The last thing I saw, Pastor Jones, was the ends of those pieces of pipe hitting the concrete and sparks going everywhere. And that's the last thing I remember, but until I woke up and sat up off the concrete. But I can tell you what was coming out of my mouth as that lift was coming to the ground. It was the name of Jesus. I said, it was the name of Jesus. And in that moment, I didn't have time to explain to God what the problem was. And there's a lot of you, no doubt, that have been there. In an instant of tragedy, you didn't have time to explain to God, God, now you know I'm your child. Now, Lord, you know I paid my tithes last week. Can I get an amen? Lord, you know I've been faithful to your house. Lord, you know that my house is clean. You know that there's nothing in my house that would defile it, that would bring dishonor to you. You know, God, the situation where I am, and I'm standing here, and now I'm falling. I didn't have time to do all that, friend. All I had time to do was cry and call on the name that's above every name. The only time that I had was to call on the name of Jesus. And Brother Ryan, did you know that when you call on the name of Jesus, you don't have to explain the situation, because when you say his name, it encompasses every need. I said it encompasses every need. It don't matter if it's physical or financial. It doesn't matter if it's marital. It doesn't matter what your problem is tonight, if you'll use the weapon that's been given to us, the name of Jesus, in just a moment, things will begin to change. God can spare your life, and God can move and work as only he can do. Wow. When I woke up and I tried to sit up off that concrete, the first thing out of my mouth, the Holy Ghost was talking through me. There was a language from another world. Because see, even though I had lost contact with my body, it felt like I hadn't lost contact with my spirit. And the Bible tells us his spirit bears witness, oh God, with my spirit when I call on that name. When I call on that name of Jesus. I sat up off that concrete. I looked down. There was blood everywhere. I had a gash on my forehead. That's where all the blood was coming from. The rest of the blood was going down through my boot. I didn't even know everything that had happened to me. But I sat up off that concrete speaking in tongues and worshiping and glorifying God. And I can tell you tonight, friend, that the only reason why this 31-year-old preacher standing in front of you is because I had a weapon that I could go to war with. Oh yes, the Bible says he's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh yes, he's got a plan. And many years, as I would quote that verse, I would add a conjunction in that verse, and I would say, but I am come. But if you look in John chapter 10 and verse 10, that conjunction is not there. For you see, God's plan for you to move forward, God's plan for you to succeed, was not a reaction to the devil's plan to destroy your life. Jesus didn't say, oh, looky here, look what's happening. I guess I better get something together. No, friend, it was his plan all along. Because when you're covered by the blood, and you've got his word, and you've got his name, and you've got his spirit, you're invincible. Even to the kingdom of darkness, he can't take you out, friend, because no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. And the Bible says even the devils believe and tremble. all of heaven, all that is in the hemisphere, all that are in hell, bow and tremble at the name of Jesus. And in heaven, the angels are crying holy. They cease not day and night to cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. Jesus, at the right hand of God the Father, ever liveth to make intercession for us. And the cherubim and the seraphim that fly around in his presence, they've got wings, they've got eyes, they're flying, they're covering their face, they're covering their feet, because they know they're in the presence of an almighty God, and they cease not day and night to cry holy to the Lord. Hallelujah. In all of heaven they cry holy. In all of the hemisphere, all of creation worships him. The Bible says that the trees clap their hands, the very waves of the ocean worship him. All of creation knows who the Creator is. But not just in heaven, and not just here in the hemisphere of earth, but even in hell tonight, friend, there are demons that are held in chains until the time of their release, and they know who he is. I said they know who he is. They know he is the Creator. They know that there is power in his name. And there were seven sons of Sceva that went and tried to cast the devils out of a man. And they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preacheth. You know what that tells me? That tells me they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And if your relationship with Jesus is not where it ought to be, friend, you're in trouble tonight. Because if something comes your way that's out of your control, who are you going to call on? Who's going to help you out of that problem? Who's going to give you power to overcome that situation? Oh, God, who's going to help you then? Those seven sons of Sceva, they said, we adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preacheth. And if we could hear those demons talk tonight, they would say, yeah, we know him. We tried to kill Paul. We tried to stone him with stones. We tried to beat him with rods. We threw him out in the ocean for a day and a night, and we still couldn't kill him. We know who Paul is. Jesus, yeah, we know him. Every time that we tried to ruin someone's life while Jesus was walking the earth, it seemed like Jesus would just show up out of nowhere and deliver a man that was possessed with thousands and thousands of demons, and we had no power over him. There was nothing that we could do. We know who Jesus is. We've always known his power and his authority, for you see, he is our Creator. I said he is our Creator. You got to realize that the devil that you're fighting on a daily basis has got to stand and answer to your Father. Yes. Brother Shane, how would you act if there was a bully in your life, but you knew every morning that your dad had a heart-to-heart with that bully? Would you cower when that bully comes a-walking toward you and calling you names and trying to beat you up? Then, my God, why do we cower in fear when the devil comes a-knocking on our door when we've been given the name of Jesus? They have been created by him. Amen. They tried to kill him. The Bible says that Herod made a decree that they were going to kill all of the male children from ages 2 years old and down, but they were not able to kill him. They tried to push him off of a cliff. They said, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to stone you there. Jesus said, it's not my time yet. And I want you to know, as long as you're operating in the name of Jesus. It's not your time yet. I said it's not your time yet until the will of God is fulfilled, until your cross has been carried, until God's will has been done in your life. It's not your time yet. I want you to know it. I served notice on the devil tonight. It wasn't my time yet, because God is not through. God's not done with what his plan is. See, we know the demons say that there's nothing we can do because his power does not come from himself, because his Father gave him that name. I said his Father gave him that name. And the Bible says those seven sons of Sceva, one preacher said, the seven sons with empty guns, they went running. You know why? Because they didn't have a relationship with the Jesus that Paul was preaching. But if you've got a relationship with Jesus, if you've got the name of Jesus, you can come back rejoicing that the devils are subject unto you and your name has been written. Oh yes, when we believe on his name, when we pray in his name, it's not will it ever happen, but when will it happen? Oh God, I pray that we could get back to that faith tonight, friend, that we would say, oh God, will you ever hear my prayer? And he looked at Daniel and said, Daniel, I heard the first day that you prayed, and I've been fighting on your behalf ever since. I want to encourage Abundant Life tonight that God heard the very first time you prayed. God heard the very first time that you were pleading the blood. God heard the very first time you quoted his word. And God heard the very first time when you said, in the name of Jesus, let it be done. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a young preacher that was preaching on the name of Jesus and the fact that Jesus said, I give you power. There was a lawyer that day in the congregation, and he said, does that mean that he gave us the power of attorney? The legal right to use his name. The young preacher looked at him and said, you tell me. You're the lawyer and I'm a layman. And that lawyer turned around and looked at him and said, when you have the power of attorney with a person's name, you have access to all of their personal information. You have access to every resource that they have. You have access to all of their potential resources. You have access even to their inheritance. And I heard him say that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have been given the spirit of life, the spirit of truth. We have been given the Holy Ghost, the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment, the promise of our inheritance. I want to ask somebody tonight, do you feel like you're at war? Find you a weapon that you can trust in. Call on the name of Jesus. Find a weapon that you've tried over and over and quote the word of God. Is there anybody tonight that feels like going to war and squaring your shoulders back and say, come on, devil. I'm not standing in my power. I'm not standing in my authority. But I'm standing in the authority of Christ tonight. Stand with me all over the house if you would. Won't y'all come to the music tonight? Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, Brother Jones, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him. Did you know that when Jesus is highly exalted in your life, you have the authority to use his name? When Jesus has brought glory from the way you live your life, the way you do your business dealings, the way you worship, the way you treat your wife in private, the way that you raise your children, the way you pay your tithes and give your offerings, when you do those kinds of things, Jesus, you have the power that is in his name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know these verses that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I heard him say that sickness has got to bow to the name of Jesus, for the Bible tells us they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. High blood pressure has got to bow to the name of Jesus. Muscular dystrophy and cancer have got to bow at the feet of the only begotten Son of God because of the name that he has given to us. Let's worship him tonight. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on, let's worship him tonight. I want to wait on the Lord here for just a moment as we stand here and pray. I need to pray in church tonight. I said we need to be praying right here, church. I feel like somebody has gone to war. I feel like somebody has gone to war. And I know we preached along these lines this morning, but from the very moment that this message was birthed in my heart, the Lord spoke to me and said, that's for Sunday night. So you're here tonight. You're not struggling with sin. You're not struggling with addiction. You're struggling with the adversary of your soul because you're going the right direction with God. And I want you to know, as we sang from the very start, there's victory in Jesus. I said there's victory in Jesus. Before you even make your way to this altar, if you're fighting something right now in your life, close your eyes and say his name. I said close your eyes and say his name. That name that encompasses every need. Every knee's got to bow. Come on, let's stand here for just a moment in his presence as the Holy Ghost is working. Oh God. Oh God. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Somebody right now, in the name of Jesus, step out of your pew and make your way to this altar and say, Lord, I'm giving you this battle. The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine. I'm in your favor. If you're in the favor of God, you can call on the name of Jesus tonight. If you're a son, a daughter of God, you could call on the name of Jesus tonight. Come on, make your way to this altar. In the name of Jesus, step out into that aisle. In the name of Jesus, step out into that aisle and make your way to this altar and find victory and help through these weapons that God has given us. For you see that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. And I'd just like to share this with the church tonight. The next part of that verse that says, every tongue that riseth up against thee, thou shalt condemn. And I want to tell Abundant Life tonight, there might be some folks that whisper about this pastor. There might be some folks that whisper about this church, but no weapon that is formed against Abundant Life Tabernacle is going to prosper.
because God has set his name in this place, and the anointing of God is on the man of God. The anointing of God is on this pastoral staff, all the way down to the custodians, even the secretaries and the Sunday school teachers, all the way down to the children. There's no weapon that can prosper against Abundant Life Tabernacle. If you believe it tonight, why don't you meet me in this altar and throw up your hands and say, thank God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.